I'm Liz Wagstrom. I'm Chief Veterinarian for National Pork Producers Council.
Big on pork producers' list and other livestock producers in the U.S. is getting an FMD vaccine bank. It looks like there's the potential for getting that into the Farm Bill this year. Is that correct?
Yes, we've been working really hard. We have spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill talking about the importance of having the protection for foot and mouth disease virus by having a robust vaccine bank. They're getting ready to mark up the Farm Bill in the House Agriculture Committee. They've said it's going to be in the first quarter of this year. So we're really optimistic that they will provide some sort of mandatory funding within there.
That's the key, right? You can get it in there, but then you have to have the funding. And is there a goal that you guys are shooting for?
We are asking for $150 million a year for the vaccine bank, $30 million a year for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, and $70 million a year that would go in block grants to the states for prevention and preparedness. And that would all be mandatory funding. It doesn't help us to have it authorized in the Farm Bill without a stream of funding that actually is identified for it.
Do you expect to reach that goal? Have you, money's tight, as they say?
Well, we know that this is a Farm Bill that's not going to come up with new money. So we're cautiously optimistic that we will be in there at some level. We've heard from the chairman and members of the committee that they understand how important it is, that they realize this is the only vehicle for which to address this gap. We just have yet to understand or know or be told how much or if for sure we will be in.
Well, it sounds like you will take a position of strong lobbying that will continue throughout.
Absolutely. It's been our number one priority around the Farm Bill. We've had producers, we've had our allied industry, we've had veterinarians in town, all of them walking Capitol Hill telling their legislators how important this is.
There's really no solid argument against it, is there?
There's absolutely none. It is essential. We are one of the very few countries in the first world that do not have a vaccine bank. So if you look at the Europeans, you look at Asia, you look at countries that we would expect to have more resources than, they all have vaccine banks. And we have a minimal bank that's been managed by our government that really is inadequate to cover any kind of an outbreak.
How long of a timeline would there be should you get exactly what you're looking for?
We're looking at a five-year commitment, so it's $150 million a year. It will take some time to build that inventory, but our the vendors that are able to compete for a contract to do this have told us they're convinced by the end of the 5 years that the bank could be fully stocked.
And how many vaccines would that be?
We're looking at, there's 23 different serotypes, or topotypes they're called, that we need to cover. And we want between 10 and 20 million doses per topotype, kind of based on risk of which is the most likely versus that which is the least likely.
What's the shelf life of those?
It's stored as what's called a vaccine antigen concentrate, not dissimilar to orange juice concentrate. And so the shelf life of that is about 5 years, and if you need it, it's mixed up with the adjuvant, put in bottles, and sent back to us as vaccine. One of the things we're asking for in the bank is a manufacturer-managed bank, so that, let's say we get it 4 years into the life of a five-year vaccine concentrate, they can take that concentrate, make sure it's still potent and efficacious, mix it up, make it into vaccine, and sell it to a country that's actively vaccinating, and then give us a credit to replace that inventory with new vaccine concentrate. So by doing that, we can ongoing really reduce our costs of maintaining that bank.
Vaccination, like you said, going on all the time somewhere.
Yep. Around the world, there are a lot of countries that are vaccinating. And so there are some odd types that you may not have a market for, but those manufacturers will be able to help us best manage that inventory.
The position that the United States is in now, are there any more risk factors or fewer today than there might be tomorrow.
So I think what we look at is that we're probably the most at risk we have been in history, and that's because we have a lot of global travel. And even though we have a strong Customs and Border Protection department, they can't look at every traveler that comes in from every port. We also import a tremendous amount of the ingredients that go into our animal feeds and go into our animal diets, as well as even the equipment we use. And so the potential for virus to be traveling in on some product continues to increase the more we continue to import and trade globally.